Hello. When I got back into the house about 10 minutes ago, the dog was in the kitchen. Everybody else was gone to bed in the house, and the dog barked. I went into the kitchen. He was already gone to bed, but my arrival excited him, and he got all uppity and wanted something. I didn't know what he wanted. I was exhausted, and I resisted the idea of going out for a walk with him, it being 10 past 12 at night. But after a few minutes, I gave in. So here I am, outside, in the open air, having come back in a car, quite a long distance, from Clonmel. And actually, truthful, it is so nice to get out in the fresh air. There's an awful lot of moisture in the air, so it's like a very, very fine mist that's cooling me down. And there's total cloud cover, so you can't see anything up there at all. So on other nights, I've, you know, had the stars to inspire me and the moon to inspire me and big black space up there. And so tonight it's all puddles, all reflections on watery pavement. And the dog, really, I think, hasn't been out for a walk tonight, and he's really enjoying it. I say he's enjoying it because instead of being sleepy and dozy and everything, he's mad alert and going for it in terms of getting his head into bushes. And at this rate, we won't go anywhere because he's just, you know, straight into a neighbour's garden, front garden, head down, and digs his toes in. So now, come on, we're going to get going. So now this is going to be a very quiet boo. No stream of consciousness this evening. Nothing very much going to come out of me, except the ramblings of a very tired man. And you know, if this was a different series, I could tell you all about what I was doing during the day today, and you know, it would be a long list. And I don't want another day like today. I did too much. And I'm going to see my mother tomorrow, and it's a bit like going to be a very quiet day. I see the lavender is still a bit in bloom in the neighbour's house there, and I see flowers out in the. There are no walls here. You see, all these houses in this estate have open gardens, and there's usually a bit of grass, not a lot of it, a bit of front lawn grass, and a flower bed. And in the flower bed there might be 10 plants along the side of the pavement. And that's it. And I am someday, so that I can, you know, enjoy the walk even more, I'm going to get out a plant spotter, and I'm going to, you know, learn to name a number of things. This is certainly a box hedge in the making, one of these tiny low-down things. Reminds me of those wonderfully ornate gardens that were in Versailles and various other places, National Trust gardens, where you had people used to specialise in little box hedges, all sort of rectangular and square shapes, straight lines basically. And all these other beds are kind of mixed, higgledy-piggledy. Somebody will tell me if, oh, maybe the man Donegan, the great gardener, and I'm tired, so Peter Donegan will tell me if it was Gertrude Jekyll who set up the fashion for mixed beds sometime in the last century, the early part of it. So anyway, what's life like? It's a dog lifting his rear leg to have another pee. I see around me, I see a flicker. A child's flicker. I see another flicker here that is inside in a flower bed. So that's two flickers in two houses. I can see that it's bin day tomorrow, because I've just passed a bin that's out here and is being collected by the same people that ours is being collected. I found a very interesting little device this evening, which Roger Overall was able to put over his iPhone while he was recording. And I might get one. It's a little bit of foam, and you speak through it, so maybe that would cut out the sound of the wind. Atmospherics. Atmospherics, ambient, surround sound. Context. Environment. Yeah, this is a little bit of a kind of, you know, free association, a la psychoanalysis, you know. Just the very first thing, you know, noise, mess, place, space, wondering, foundations, boundaries. Okay, that's just me playing the part of the patient. I'm imagining myself on a couch, and the therapist behind me are certainly in a place I can't see them, and This therapist is doing it the classical Freudian way, where you know, you're encouraged to free associate. I've actually never done that with a therapist. I did once have psychoanalysis, and for a long time, for 5 years, but there was no free association involved in it. That's another little bit of biography. This is like I'm more interested in the biography of this dog. Now, he's white, and the car here at the end of the estate is also white. So, that's as far as we go. I see somebody has a pile of topsoil in their garden on top of the bricks patio, or whatever you call this, front of a house, which is bricked up. They're doing some work somewhere in their garden. You know, without the stars and the moon, the sky is awfully boring. In fact, the sky is invisible. What am I talking about? I'm looking up at the underside of cloud, the undercarriage of cloud. I'm looking at lights turned off in the houses, people having battened down the hatches, gone to sleep for the night, and you know, they're in their caves with the bushes or whatever they used to use in caves to keep out the howling wind. Yeah, I wonder what they did use, because when people used to live in caves, a lot of caves would have a big, wide open mouth, and they'd have had to seal off the caves in some way to protect themselves. And I bet you they did. I bet you they had, you know, they either cut down trees or planted trees, or maybe there wasn't even topsoil there to plant in, but they would have done something. Maybe they stretched the hides of animals so that they had a door. I'm thinking of beehive huts now, suddenly. I went to the Skellig Islands, or the Skellig, one of the Skelligs. The other one is not, you can't go onto it. But the big Skellig rock, and those of you who don't know it, it's off the southwest coast of Ireland. Not that really that far from shore, maybe about 10 miles. Don't quote me on 10 miles. But there are beehive huts there. They're there from about the, can't quite remember, I think about the 9th century, maybe 8th. Anyway, it was always in my head as, God, that would have been a very tough life living in a beehive hut out on an island off the coast. But when I got there and I went inside, I got this strong sensation that this was really the opposite. This was an incredibly warm place to be. It was built so very well. And that on this little island, and it is a small little island, a community of monks could live quite well. They could have great shelter and protection, and I imagine boats sailing out to the island, bringing food to them. So I imagine that that was what happened. Now, for all I know, they starved every day, and they just about survived eating gannets and guillemots and whatever. But I doubt that, really. I think that they, you know, they fished themselves, and I suspect people brought them food. Anyway, why am I talking about this? I'm talking about people in their houses at night here on the estate. And let's see if we can get a word out of Rocky. Rocky, what do you think of beehive huts? Anything? No, he doesn't have much interest in beehive huts. He was looking at a light in somebody's house. Now, here we go. This is it, the last phase. We now have to walk up an incline. The incline is very slight. Where are you now when you're listening to this? I wonder where you are. And I wonder what your cave is like. Where do you... What space is your safe place in the world? Is it your shed, your garden shed? Is it a particular room in your house? Is it under the bedclothes? Where is your cave which you can retreat into? Now, I think, if I remember, my men are from Belly the Hob, and women are from Belfast. I think it may be a very male thing to, you know, go for retreating into a cave and recovering and then coming out when you're ready. Maybe women don't do that so much, but I think they probably are hearth people. Men have a cave and women have a hearth. Maybe that could be it. I don't know, really. That would have something to do about women liking to be around the fire, telling stories, listening to stories, talking, big talkers, and men, you know, just wanting to pull back into a place for a while to recover themselves so that they can then emerge re-energized. I wonder who does most meditation, men or women? Now, somebody might tell me who runs meditation classes, who comes to them. A little bit of meditation I learned from a man who was into meditation and Ayurvedic medicine. He lived in Bath in the UK. And this I have finally wittered all the way back to the house. So I'm going to say cheerio, thank you very much for listening. And the dog, I think, has had all the goodies he's going to get tonight. Because once we get into the kitchen, he's going to get in onto his little rug, and I'm going to go up to my bed. Okay, good night.